You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So blaming others for our mistakes might be as old as Adam pointing the finger at Eve, but it doesn't really get us anywhere, does it? So taking responsibility for our actions is tough, especially when it comes to owning up to our sins, right? So let's talk about accountability, what it means to face our shortcomings and how doing so can actually set us free from the chains of the guilt, right? We're joined once again by my brother, Brother Dumisani Moyo, who's joining us to help us navigate this one.
Muribuanj.
I hope you're good.
I'm good. I'm all right. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. Actually, we've been speaking about sin. I mean, Ashama must just say that I've repented already. So this whole week it's been quite interesting. So before we get into today's one, because this one is going to, it's quite heavy, it's quite big, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer for us?
All right, let us pray. Our kind and loving Father in heaven, we thank you for your love for the way in which you take care of us, but also we thank you not just for what you do, but for who you are. We ask, Lord, that as we approach the subject of sin and taking responsibility, that you would be with us, you would climb into our hearts, and that, Lord, you would show us grace by giving us the right words, and that the right words would be in our mouths, in our hearts, and that you would give us a listening ear. We thank you, and we ask, Lord, that you would come into our hearts this day. We ask all this according to your will, and in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. You know, the issues of taking responsibility, I think it's quite big, because sometimes we don't accept or recognize, you know, what we have done, and that hinders quite a lot of issues, you know. Is it difficult then, you know, for us to take responsibility for our sins and mistakes, and taking responsibility and also even going to God to go and confess, Guti? God, this is what has happened. Why is it difficult?
So I wish I could say that, you know, I would know exactly how it plays out in every person's mind. But then one thing that does show up and is for sure is that taking that responsibility means that we would have to change, or we would have to. That's one of the things that makes it so difficult, is the fact that then we'd have to say, oh, okay, that was wrong. I will have to not do that again, or at least try not to do that again. The other side of it also is then we're admitting that we were wrong, which is very hard. Sometimes it may make us look foolish. Sometimes it may make us like we didn't know what we were doing, and maybe even on the other hand, it may even make us lose that image that we want to portray to everyone else. That image of being able to be the person who is either dependable or right, or always knows what they're doing. And so sometimes, and a lot of times, we don't want to lose that image. And because we don't want to lose that image, we then shift the blame or the responsibility to someone else. An example of this is with Adam, and even with Eve. But like you had said in the intro, that it's as old as Adam pointing the finger at Eve and saying, no, God, it's the woman that you gave me. Notice he never said that, I did. And he, in one sentence, in one breath, he blames both the woman and God, because he doesn't want to be the one to blame, and none of us do want to be the one to blame, which is why maybe the Bible is a hard book to read, because it tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, you know. So even though we would like to say, no, but I'm good, that's not the case.
And that is true, hey, because if we don't take accountability for that, then repentance will not come. But anyway, Next one. So, Neil, how does, you know, when we are holding ourselves accountable, you know, help us grow in our personal as well as in our spiritual lives? Does it help us in any way, or it's just way of life? You sin, you take accountability, you move on. Does it help us grow? Does it help us do anything?
So I would like to take a chapter from the Bible. Well, not necessarily just a chapter, but then it's in Revelation.
Okay.
Christ talks to each of the seven churches, and one of the churches, the last one he talks to, is the Church of Laodicea. And he says, you know, this is a church that feels like, you know, you say that I am rich, I am increased in goods, I see everything, but then you do not know that you are poor, miserable, blind, and naked. And that's coming from God, who knows who we actually are. Yet we recognize that when he says that, he says you're poor, miserable, blind, and naked. But he also then says that, come to me, buy of me gold tried in the fire, buy of me eyesalve, come to me, take that responsibility that this is who I am. However, I will not leave you that way. He loves us so much that he won't just leave us that way. He loves us enough to forgive us, but he also loves us enough not to just leave us that way. So when he says, I will cure that blindness, I will make you rich and increased in goods, I have the gold that you seek. So it's not just saying, you know what, take the responsibility just so that we can move on. No, he's saying, take the responsibility that we may be able to grow together. So that we may be able to, that you may be able to grow in me and I in you. When Jesus actually said of Peter, when you will deny me three times, but when you have come back to the faith, strengthen your brethren. Why would he say that? It's not even just about strength. It's not even about building our own spiritual life. It's also about those around us, because when they see that a righteous man can fall seven times and yet come back to Christ, and God can still use them in such a mighty and powerful way, then even when you see that in their lives, you can say, but then that means that God has a purpose for me too.
Is accountability a group work? And I'm asking this because of my next question, right? Because my next question is issues of, you know, how can, for example, what are some of the ways in which, you know, we can practice accountability within our communities as well as faith group? And when I saw the question, I was like, wait, is accountability a group work, or is a person thing? Or as a group, we can be accountable for a certain something. You know, yesterday we spoke about, you know, the sins that have been normalized in the community, right? So maybe the accountability would come there. But honestly, is it really a group work, or it's an individual thing?
So I would say both. It starts out as an individual work and then goes out into the community. Because I remember once working let me give an example that I remember once working in a certain environment where, and I guess this happens in most workplaces, but when something goes right, everyone says that, oh yeah, we were part of it, you know, we took our part. But then when something goes wrong, no one, or let's say something goes missing, no one wants to take responsibility. No one wants to step in and say, yeah, I'm the one who did it. However, I remember this one person who came into the workplace and something got broken. I remember, I think it was the leg of a chair or something like that. And I remember everyone saying, no, I don't know. I don't know who did it. And this person just straight out said, yeah, no, that was me. And everyone looked at this person like, wait, no one would have known unless if you had stayed quiet, no one would have said anything. They said, no, I'm the one who did it. If there's some preparation, if there's reparations I have to make for it, I'll do it. It's not a problem. But then when you went over to this person, you realize that the reason why they could take that responsibility, because they had peace with God in the first place. And therefore, when it came to men, when it came to taking responsibility, they said, yeah, it's okay. Or even, how can I put it? When you see David, in the Psalms, and he says, Lord, don't turn your face away from me. Please accept me back into your presence. Notice that David is also one of the people, when he had peace with God, he didn't have this thing of having to try and hide from people. No, he even when people were accusing him of the things he really did do, he said, no, if it pleases God that I should be shamed for the things I did, then let that be so. However, when the time comes that God will lift me up, then it will be so. So I believe that it starts off individually. Yes,
okay.
You take responsibility individually first, but then it, because of the responsibility you take up in your own life and for your own the own mistakes and our own sins that we have committed, from there it goes out into the community. We no longer have this fear of, oh, okay, now I have to maintain some kind of pristine image, when even God himself knows exactly who I am and yet still loves me. So there's that. Not to say that then we defend our sin or justify our sin. No, that's not what we're saying. But then being able to then say, no, I ask for forgiveness from God because he knows who I am. And therefore, if I'm not forgiven by people for certain things that I've done, it's understandable because, hey, how can I put it? You can't force forgiveness from people.
Yeah.
You cannot. But then at the same time, it doesn't mean then we do not offer that forgiveness. But can I ask you a question, my dear sister? I don't think this is a question that came up during the week. So I'd like to ask you something.
Okay.
Oh no, please don't be scared.
When the guest asks the host a question, it's a trap.
No. It's a thought to say, okay, when you have asked for, and especially from people, when you have asked for forgiveness from someone, you've taken responsibility for your sin, you said what I did was wrong, and you've asked for forgiveness, and this person then chooses to say, yeah, I can't forgive you. How, I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but how has that ever made you feel? And what are we supposed to do in that kind of situation?
You?
Too hard of a question?
It has never happened to me,
okay.
But there has been a situation where if this particular person would have come to me to ask for forgiveness,
yeah,
I might have said, I don't know now, then I would have said those words and also include a not yet. You know,
okay.
But okay. Personally, for me, if I were to, you know, hurt someone or do wrong to someone, and then I ask forgiveness, and then they tell me that, I think I would be comforted in the fact that me apologizing and to them and expressing my asking for forgiveness is not for them completely.
Okay,
it's for me. Like I'm dealing with the wrong, I'm dealing with what I have done. So for me, it's expressing the fact that I recognize, like if it's you, it's me now when I'm speaking to you, Brother Dumtsane, it's me saying, Brother Dumtsane, I recognize that I have hurt you. So if you can, please forgive me. But now it's me working on my mistake and recognizing it. So even if you don't forgive me, it's okay. But it will hurt for a day or two.
Yeah.
But for me, it's a matter of, it's me recognizing you know, that I have hurt, because it goes also with forgiveness. You remember every time we are taught or discussing forgiveness, they do say that, for example, when I forgive you, I'm not doing it for you as well. Because even sometimes you have not come to me to say, I'm sorry, but I have forgiven you because I am dealing with me, you know? So in both instances, I believe it is a you person recognizing that you have been hurt, you're forgiving, or recognizing that you have hurt and you're asking for forgiveness.
And, you know, I actually like the way that you've put that, to say that, you know, whether you're the one being forgiven or you're the one who is asking for forgiveness or the one who is forgiving, it really is, now, I wouldn't say it's group work, but it's something that works in community. It's not something that happens necessarily just in isolation. Well, I shouldn't even say just in isolation. It is something that happens in community, even in our communion with God. that it requires parts of being able to of him forgiving us. So it's not a one-sided thing. And on both sides, it requires grace, because even after asking for forgiveness from someone, even when someone has said, you know, I won't, which, by the way, God never does that. He, when we ask for forgiveness, he does say, you know what, it is forgiven. There may be, there may have been consequences to what you had done, but at the end of the day, I do forgive you, and you are reconciled to me. But when someone chooses to forgive, or someone chooses to ask for forgiveness, we should recognize that that also is something that God implants in the heart, but also something that requires that we recognize just how much God works in the heart to change us. And yes, it's for the individual on either end. Being able to forgive heals on both sides. Being able to ask for forgiveness heals on both sides. So yeah, even when that person chooses not to forgive, it's not necessarily that they remember that even in that situation, the person who has asked for forgiveness has actually received more of a blessing in that case, because they are choosing to let go of a situation while someone else is still holding on to it. So it's difficult, like you said. Hard, because it will still hurt. But in such a situation, always remember that Christ himself does not turn anyone away who comes to him with a humble heart.
And you know, for me, you know, the question you asked me now, as you're talking, it comes back to, you know, we communicate with God, but we struggle to hear from him quite a lot of times. So here you are, you've sinned, and then you are asking God forgiveness. God Pella does not come there, you know, in the movies that we have watched growing up. He doesn't come there with a thundering voice saying, "I forgive you, Zanele."
Very true, very true.
We don't hear him saying that, but we know, because of the study of his word and his faithfulness, that he, in fact, we have the hope. Let me correct myself.
Yeah.
We have the hope that, because he is faithful and he has said that he has forgiven, that he has forgiven us, right? So when we're asking for forgiveness from God, he doesn't then they're saying, "I have forgiven you, my daughter. I have forgiven you, my son." Or the Holy Spirit saying, "You are forgiven." You understand? It's something where we confess, we believe, we are okay. So meaning, even if I come to you, you don't verbalize your forgiveness to me. I mean, I don't know if it makes sense, man, what I'm saying, but for me, it's even when we ask for forgiveness from God, he doesn't answer us verbally then. So and that doesn't mean that we shouldn't. No. Do it because he has promised us and he has told us. So even if when now you have accepted and taking responsibility that I've heard, Brother Domsani, you take accountability now, you go and ask for him. Don't wait for that verbal confirmation, because even God doesn't give you that verbal confirmation. God will answer you in heaven that all is well. I forgave you of that sin, you know. So I don't know if it makes sense, man, but I just wanted it not to be a burden, that because now we have sinned, we ask for forgiveness, now we are living with the burden of this person said, you know. It's complicated a little bit.
No, I get what you're saying, though, because what you're basically saying, at least the way I understand it, is exactly that when you have let go, when you have let that burden go into the hands of God, especially when you recognize what forgiveness is, that it is something that is forgiveness and forgiving, that it is something that, because some people even feel a burden for even forgiving someone.
Yeah.
They're like, but how could I? Could I really do that?
Yes.
So the idea would be on both ends to make sure that you leave it in the hands of God, even when you are, especially in the human to human relationship. I like the way you put it, that, you know, we take it on faith that God has forgiven us. We don't take it on faith because God has said that he has forgiven. When it comes to people, on the other hand, we have that, we ask for forgiveness. They may say no, but then heaven has recorded the fact that no, there is remorse here. I mean, I've even seen some people who say that no, your sorry is not enough. Your sorry is not sorry. You're not really sorry. But then they don't know the state of the heart, but God does. So, but then that really means we do actually have to be sorry, though.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it's not an event. Remember that this is a process. I remember one person who did actually say that, you know, I actually told the person, I'm not ready to forgive. When this person said, yeah, I forgive you. And then later on, he could tell that, but she really doesn't forgive me. And he went over and said, one day he got a text from her and she said, you know what, to be honest, I hadn't really forgiven you. I was still fighting within my own heart. But you know what, now I really do forgive you. And not that what you did was right, but then I've let it go. I've put it into the hands of God. So allow people to be honest with you as well, to be able to say that, you know, I don't forgive you yet. But then as time goes on, continue to pray that, you know, as time goes on, that they will be able to forgive, because it's not only for your sake that you're asking for forgiveness, but also for their own. So it's forgiveness and mercy. And when it comes to sin, is a hard thing. But then taking that responsibility is not something that comes easy.
Yeah.
And it's something that God allows us to see, but also asks us to then, like what Zacchaeus did, where he said, I did these things wrong. Where I'm able to make reparation for it, help me to do so. And God said, you know what, this one is my child. And he wasn't forced into making those reparations. He did it because he wanted to. So when Christ is in the heart, he'll show us how to do the right thing and put the right words in our mouth as well.
Yeah. So as we wrap up, Brother Dumisani, you know, we've spoken from the original sin to consequences to how everything has just, you know, spiraled out from there. And today we're looking at issues, you know, of accountability. And I think one day we must actually dwell on the issue of forgiveness, but we're looking at accountability today and forgiveness. If someone, you know, they just tuned in today, you know, people are getting paid today, so maybe they just got bought data today, you know, because we are an online radio station, and they're just tuning in now and they're hearing us speaking. What is that one thing that you'd want them to know in terms of in terms of sin, you know, and how we should go about dealing with it?
That's, you know what, I think I'll do something. I think we'll, if I was to summarize it, I'll put it in the words that Christ himself put it. When he said, you know, when I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. The idea is this, that sin came into the world, whether we believe, how we believe it came into the world, or whatever we may think that the world did for sin to be able to be there. One thing we know is that sin is in the world and it is around us. But, and it surrounds us and it affects us and it's all over. However, there is a Savior who came and made sure that we not only are rescued, who are saved, we are saved from sin, but he also made sure that we can keep, that he can keep us in his arms so that we may be able to stay away from sin. So the idea would be this: there is sin, but there is a Savior. Not for one person or for those people over there, but for you and for me. For you, dear friend, there is a Savior. There is a Savior from sin, and you can have your life changed right now.
Yeah. Please do wrap it up with a word of prayer for us.
Let us pray. Our kind and loving Father in heaven, we understand that grace also means being able to discuss these things, because in the first place, we're not worthy to be able to discuss anything to do with the cross. Yet here we are, you have commissioned sinners to be able to reach out to sinners. Not that we may be able to remain in sin, but that we may be able to be redeemed to your love. You save us from sin to your love, and we ask, Lord, that today you would redeem us to your love. Today is the day of salvation. And today, until you come, we ask, Lord, that you would keep our hearts, for we cannot keep them. They are your own property. We ask, Lord, that you would be the one who saves us in spite of ourselves. Keep us from our weak, unchristlike selves, and let us be molded, fashioned into your love. We ask all this according to your will, and in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen, Brother Dumsani. Thank you so much for coming throughout the whole week. May you have yourself a blessed day.
You have a blessed day. Thank you so much.
Amen. Oh, my situation got stuck. Let's try that again.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.